Welcome to the Mastery Podcast with your host, Mark Coles. I have dedicated the last 15 years as a fitness professional to mastering my mind, my craft, and my business. It is my passion and mission to help each of you to do the same. Over the coming episodes, I will be providing you with all the necessary tools to be able to take full control of your career and your life. I'm really looking forward to going on this very exciting journey with you. So let's get started. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mastery Podcast. How's your week been? We are now about to start a second week in isolation here in the UK, and those of you all over the world, how's your week been? I'd love to know. At the end of this episode, if you need any support, drop me a DM on Instagram. Keep in touch if you're on your own. I hope today's episode is going to help you. And I hope the subjects that we're going to talk about today are going to help you, because I have a guest who's a very big part of what we do at M10. And somebody who hasn't actually been on the podcast before. So this is a big day for us both. And I'm delighted to have Director of Personal Training and Education, Dan Smith, on here. Many of you will know Dan. Some of you won't, all over the world. And I'm delighted now to introduce somebody who is an essential part of M10. Holds the team together, develops the team, helps develop the education with me. And has a hugely important role within M10 and has been a huge support to me over the years. He's been with M10 7 years, as a coach over 12 years, and has found this week quite challenging, to say the least. So, Dan, welcome to the podcast finally.
Thank you very much. How are you? You okay?
I am. I had a bit of a chat with you off air, should we say. About the kind of initial first week challenges, how have you found it?
A word to categorize it would probably be different. as you know me, I'm used to being in the gym for God knows how many hours a week from sunrise to sunset. So having to then transfer, shall we say, my kind of energies into working from home, it's been different. So that process of adaptation. We were just speaking off air about kind of having, I've always seen home as home, so to relax. So for me, trying to change that mindset of now home is my office has been tough. It's had its challenges over the course of the week, but I've managed to negotiate it safely. And as you say, entering week two, I feel a lot better set to obviously start to move forward with kind of working from home. So yeah, it's not been too bad.
Well, you know, I mean, you and I spend a lot of time not just helping other personal trainers, but we've got a team.
Yeah.
We've got a fantastic team that we're both very proud of at M10. Yeah. And we're very proud also of the fact that the guys are personal trainers. So the fact that M10, we're delivering personal training every day. And I just think it's important for us, that, you know, we're going to call today's episode 146, Adapting as a PT. We're also going to talk about psychology, and we're going to talk about clients, but I wanted to just start on kind of the importance, if you do have a team or you work as a team, of keeping together, because something that you've done a lot of this week is keeping the guys together. What's been some of the biggest challenges they've faced, and kind of how have you helped them this week?
From speaking to the guys, it's been not too dissimilar to my own challenges. We're used to being together bloody 38, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. So kind of the process of adaptation for those boys in regards to not being in the gym, and kind of we've been doing a lot of transitioning work over the course of the week with helping transition the clients from in-house to online and one-to-one personal training via things like Zoom. So the challenges I'm finding is again, it's kind of from being a fully booked personal trainer and being in the gym all hours God sends, to actually adapting and coping with and creating habits to be being in the house all day. So as we've spoke about before the call, we still have our usual team meeting via Zoom on a Tuesday and Friday. I encourage contacts most days with at least most of the boys. We engage in conversation just to see how they're finding it and making sure everybody's okay. As it's been bandied a lot about in the media just before all this happened, but kind of checking on people and making sure the people you work with are okay is going to be important, because me alongside thousands of other personal trainers and coaches out there will still be working very hard behind the scenes, but it can be a lonely place when you're not surrounded by familiar faces. So yeah, my challenge has been just keeping the guys and keeping their spirits up, whether this is going to be 3 weeks or 12 weeks, but ensuring that everybody's still moving forward and we're still all making baby steps in the direction that we want to.
And I think something you just touched on then, which is so true, is personal trainers, whilst everybody works as a team, a lot of online coaches have adapted very much to working on their own, sitting at home. Personal trainers always have friends around them, colleagues around them, if they're working in a gym. And that adaptation, it can be very lonely very quickly. So as you just said, it's very, very important. If you work with colleagues or you know other colleagues in the industry, reach out to people, talk to people. But the other thing that's very, very important to us and is the lifeblood of our business at the end of the day is our clients. And something that you and I talked about, and we're going to talk about this later on into the episode today, is about kind of the value that we bring our clients. But I wanted to just touch on first and foremost, and this is an area for those of you that weren't able to attend due to the virus, our Coaching General Population seminar and Body Transformation seminar that was in Edinburgh, that is going to be postponed. We are going to put that on a later date in Edinburgh. But Dan has a massive section. You have a massive section on psychology. And I think this is a really good time to kind of talk to you about this adaptation process, because a lot of coaches don't deal with the psychology of their clients and don't necessarily see how important that aspect is. But what are the sort of emotional challenges that you see clients facing that a lot of personal trainers and coaches have not necessarily considered?
Mainly looking at, we talk about it a lot, the whole 360 coaching with clients. Like, a lot of our clients are facing a period of very much uncertainty at the moment. We talk about kind of when we spoke about previously on the call, when do clients limit themselves, or in our experience as coaches, kind of when do our clients usually fail on a diet or struggle? It's always going to be weekends where they fall out of routine because they've got the children, they're with spouses, they've got other events on. Whereas now we're finding that clients are facing that 7 days a week, mm-hmm. that corridor of uncertainty, that there's no consistency, there's no routines and habits. So from a psychology and mindset standpoint, that uncertainty for a lot of people always leads to negative disassociation with the process. And we'll see instances of clients kind of reaching for a chocolate bar or reaching for a glass of wine because they perceive that as a stress relief. So decision making is always going to be a little bit skew with in times of uncertainty, because if we look at the positive and negative balance of people's minds, essentially, from a chemical structure standpoint, people always err on the side of negativity. I read in a book somewhere we have 20,000 internal dialogues with ourselves a day. So if most of those internal dialogues are around what's going on with my job, the kids are stressing me out today, I'm bored of being in the house, I don't know what's going on with work, kind of those negative thoughts are going to creep, which is going to create negative decisions and negative kind of habits. So one of the main things that I'm seeing with a lot of my guys and speaking to the boys who we've got M10 over this week is the importance of creating a stable routine. This is going to be new for a lot of people. And I said it to somebody I know yesterday, I don't know how people that are out of work or don't work survive, because I've been kind of essentially working from home for a week and I've been going stir crazy in the times that I haven't had too much to do. So kind of creating a routine specific to the clients you have in front of you, understanding that they do have children at home now, they have a significant other at home, is going to be so important. So it doesn't matter, which we talk about a lot from a 360 coaching standpoint, it doesn't matter what they're eating at this moment in time, what they're training, but creating routine around what they currently have available to them is going to be super important. So for those coaches that one of the big things we talk about at M10 is getting to know your client in and out. And it's so important to us that we know who the client is, what they enjoy doing, what they don't enjoy, routines, patterning. A lot of the mindset and psychology stuff that we talk about on our courses is so important. And what we'll find is once you know your client a little bit better, it enable you to create habits specific to what they have available. It'd be very easy for me to talk to let's use Sarah for a 35-year-old Sarah with three kids, right? I want to train 6 hours a day. I want to do this, 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 and this. But if it's not available because she's got the kids between 9 and 3 in homeschooling, she's then got to cook meals around them, it's going to be very difficult. So what's going to be super important for coaches in this uncertain time is to create a routine specific to your client and hammer that at home. So we spoke about taking the time to brush up on sleep hygiene, so sleep habits, de-stressing where possible, drinking plenty of water. All the things we see as gold standard are going to need to be adhered to in the early stages and then build from there. So kind of there's no one strip to working with clients, but definitely looking to how your clients function and what they have available to them in regards to a time and energy standpoint is going to be so important. And one thing you hear me talk about a lot is kind of understanding the client's state. You heard me at the start of the call say it's been a difficult week. So even for the strongest of minds, this uncertainty is going to kind of be difficult. So for those that, I won't say less fortunate, but are less eager to tap into the positive sense of the mind, it's going to be a tough time. So just being there for our clients, I think, is going to be super important over the next couple of weeks to allow them to acclimatize to the situation they find themselves in.
I think with that, what you just said is very, very true. A lot of trainers have been messaging me, and I'm certain with you at the same time, and saying, you know, I don't really know how to help my clients understand that they need to be working with me. And you've just touched on a few things there. They need to eat water, drink water, sleep well, manage stress levels. And if we talk to clients, hey, listen, you need to manage your stress, you need to manage your sleep, their understanding of the importance here is not the fact that they need to do it because it's a habit. They need to do it because it's going to support their health. And also, as you've discussed, their mental state, because if we're not hydrated and we're dehydrated, if we're not eating adequate food, our blood sugar's all over the place, if we're not getting adequate sleep, it's going to have an impact on mental state and our client's ability to get through this process. So from that perspective, you know, if you had a coach that said to you, look, Dan, you know, I'm struggling to get my clients to understand the value in this, what would your kind of feedback to them be?
Do they understand your value at all? As coaches, I speak to coaches day in, day out, but kind of don't actually understand what their value is, which to me is super important. We spoke about it previously on the call. I was on a call with a client of mine earlier on in the week and was talking about, he said that we are a luxury item. As a coach, I am not a luxury item. I am an essential part of my client's life. And the reason I say that is simply because we talk about it on a lot of the education, but I'm the bridge between clients having to see physicians, doctors, healthcare professionals, all the extremities of society in regards to health and well-being. I'm the bridge that stops them having to see there. I improve my clients' health. I keep them injury-free. From an internal standpoint, I look after the internal element. So I never see myself or foresee myself as a luxury item. I'm an essential item in my client's life, which in turn allows me to see the value that I have for clients. My toolbox is extensive in regards to what I have to offer on my clients. I'm not just a coach that gives a client a workout routine. In this day and age, that's very short-lived. We'll go into it a little bit more in detail a little bit later on with our 6 pillars at M10, but they're psychology and mindset, nutrition, training, sleep, stress, and digestion. And if you see yourself as a valuable part of all your clients' lives for those 6 pillars, then you'll start to see your value and your ability to, if you believe it, to then explain it becomes a lot easier. I find it easy because it's something that I do thoroughly believe that I'm an essential part of my client's life and not just a value, an expensive commodity that can just be dropped when the funds hit. And a prime example for the guys at M10 and myself, that it's no coincidence that we've pretty much converted most of the personal training clients into paying online training clients, because in our facility, we are the last thing that clients want to lose, as opposed to people that don't see their value or allow their clients to see their value. They are often the first thing to go because clients see them as not as important as they should. Yeah, so that's our ability as coaches to be able to echo that to clients and to show them through action, not just talk about it, but actually show them through the due care and attention that each and every one of our clients should get.
I think what you just said then is really important. Initially, trainers are thinking, okay, where does the value lie with my client? Well, as you've just said, psychology and mindset. First and foremost, if you don't have to tell somebody that they need to be with you for psychology reasons, but if you are just there for them and say, look, have you got 5 minutes to have a chat? How are you? You know, you and I chatted off this when we just spoke. We asked each other, how are we?
Yeah.
And immediately you aired your idea, thoughts. I aired my thoughts. But maybe for 24 hours, apart from our loved ones that we're with, we haven't spoke to anybody who we are in the industry with,
yeah,
who gets that 100%. Mm-hmm. And so it's very, very important when you're talking to your clients that you're there for them. And now you have an opportunity. If you haven't been offering a high level of value, i.e. you've been given training sessions, you and I talked about this, it's going to really, really show up which coaches have not been offering value. And value at the end of the day is when someone turns around to you and says, that's really helped me, that's really necessary. So outside of the training session, outside of, you know, you talked about giving the extra 1%, what are you doing every day, every hour of the day to showcase your client's value? Because to trainers that don't know, it'd be really helpful for you to say, I, as a personal trainer of over 12 years, do this. Now we've adapted into this stage. What's the things that you're doing?
It's, for me, it boils down to one thing. It's contact time. Kind of a lot of trainers nowadays just have a session with a client, and it's not that they do it on purpose, but we're all busy guys, but they forget to text clients. They say they're going to do something for a client. One thing I've got very good memory of is things that clients talk to me about. I always say to a lot of my guys, I'm an impartial part of their life. It's very difficult now, but I say to them, when they come through the gym door, they forget everything else that's going on outside in the outside world. They forget their parents, they forget their wife or a husband, they forget their job, they forget everything. And that hour with me is an hour where they can vent anything that they want. And there's no kind of, basically the four walls of M10 are your sanctuary, and you can say whatever you want. So kind of the things that I'm very big on, and things that I do, is contact time, especially now more than ever. Clients are going to be in the house with the spouses nine times out of 10, they're going to be arguing with. Yep. They're going to have children that are running rings around them. They're going to be stressing about food and loved ones that are potentially, I know me myself personally, not being able to see my grandma and granddad the last week has been horrific.
Yeah.
And they're very dear to me. And it's the same with other people. They're going to be worried about loved ones and people that they can't see. So kind of as a coach, your value lies in understanding your clients, being there for your client, and understanding that most of my guys talk to me about anything, and I'm very impartial to the life that they've got going on, and just being that crutch for a lot of my guys and allowing them to be able to come to me with anything, whether it be fitness related, whether it be work related, home related, and just allowing them to vent, whether it be frustration, good or bad. I'm that person that holds my clients together. And that's, I think that's what differentiates, not good and bad coaches, I don't like to say that because there's no such thing as bad coaches, but that differentiates coaches in that ability to use kind of intuition to totally understand your client. And for me, it just comes down to listening as well. I talk about it a lot in my psychology talks. How do you learn intuition? You learn a damn sight more about your client if you listen and ask the right questions, as opposed to just bombarding them with information. We as coaches, we know a lot, but half the time our clients only need to know a fraction of it when relevant. And coaches like to talk up about what they're learning, resistance profiles, strength profiles, and a lot of education, but actually just listening to your client and understanding them as an individual is going to be super important at this time specifically. Because if you become an invaluable part of somebody's life, it's very hard for them to foresee themselves without you. And I always say to guys, I don't do it. The monetary element comes as a byproduct of what I do.
Exactly.
But it's just through, as we spoke about before the call, Mark, it's just generally caring about every single one of my guys. And I know the guys at M10 are fantastic for this. We genuinely care about helping every single person that we come into contact with, which in this moment in time is going to stand you head and shoulders above the rest.
You know, I absolutely love what you just said then, because it's something that, you know, if, for example, you're someone who is, you know, just training one modality as a personal trainer, as you said, 360 coaches, as soon as somebody loses the training aspect in the gym, your client suddenly looks to you towards everything else that they're going to struggle with, the psychology. And this is quite funny. During a training session, you've said this many times as a coach, you've said, if during the early days of a general population client, your training session has to be 50% talking and 50% training, that's the value.
Yes, 100%.
And here's the thing. A lot of coaches are like, right, the value lies in the training session. The value lies in the training session if the client is in the position to do the full training session. Yeah. And interestingly, in the early days of coaching somebody, the value is in half an hour of talking. Because as you said, that's where they air their problems. That's where they build their trust. And in marketing, I talk about it all the time, like and trust. If people like you and trust you, the minute that the gym's shut, the first thing they do after reaching out to their business, the business partners or employees and family is, Dan, you're not going to leave me.
Yeah.
And I think what you've said so far on the podcast is so true, that if all of the trainers listening to this and online coaches, this is quite funny. I've heard a lot of online trainers, Dan, losing clients this week.
Yeah.
Because they're still losing their gym access. So the online coach, because they don't show compassion, they don't reach out to the clients all the time apart from a Friday check-in, the client's gone, I'm going to save that money each month.
If we spoke about it, it's very easy to lose contact. And I mentioned it a few minutes ago, is contact time. I've spoke to a few guys that have had online training, which again, I'm not against online training because we're doing parts of it now, but kind of contact time and actually feeling a part of something is super important. I don't mean feeling part of a group, that's important, but the individual aspect of what we do, the more people that I speak to, it's so important. Like kind of that we talk about it a lot, M10, but humanizing yourself. And as I've encouraged a lot of my guys to download Zoom. And they said, oh, can I just have a phone call? I'm like, no, I don't just want you to hear my voice or see me in an email. I want you to see my face.
Yeah.
I want you to see my emotion, because what's lost in today's Generation Z and X is kind of that ability to converse face to face. And that's so important for what we do, because as I said to you at the start of the call, now not seeing people, I feel quite a lot. So kind of I can't feel people's energy through the laptop or on an email or via text, and a lot of things can be misconstrued. So forcing them to see me on a Zoom, I'll be able to pick up body language. I'll be able to pick up what they say to me, how they answer a question, where they look when they answer a question, to be able to identify, you're lying, but kind of that's not true. Talk to me, what's going on? And just that ability to then identify, right, Sarah's got a problem. I need to extract that out of her, is going to be so important this time, because then you change something from remote access. They're going to be like, well, this guy has changed something from remote without even knowing I was feeling that. But now we feel it. And that personal aspect is again, it's going to be so valuable in this phase.
You know, something that's really interesting, what you've just said. I've had contact from a few coaches this week that have had people contacting them who have stopped working with one coach and working with them because they saw on their Insta story that they're having calls with their clients on Zoom. And what you've just said, they're really interesting. A lot of the online coaches, and you know, it's a part of the fitness industry. It was a big part for me, and I still support coaches who do online training, of course. But the interesting thing here is suddenly personal trainers who love face-to-face contact. Have you noticed this word that's come about? Virtual.
Virtual, yeah.
It's just appeared. No one's ever called online coaching virtual training, virtual coaching. Mm-hmm. And very quickly, the coaches that are just doing a check-in on a Friday and doing an email back to their clients are suddenly being challenged by personal trainers who give way more.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're watching all these live TV show, live Zoom calls and YouTube channels and everything. And people are like, hold on a minute, I don't get that.
Yeah.
Because personal trainers have suddenly come to the marketplace and gone, right, well, an email's not enough. I don't do that. I'm face-to-face, as you said. I need to feel your energy. I need to see you. And suddenly we've realized that everybody's level of service has gone up through the roof. And I think by the end of this, there's going to be a lot of people that are realizing, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, a lot of people realizing that the level of value and service that they've been offering is subpar.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like with any industry, isn't it? It takes something to happen of magnitude for people to raise their level. I mean, as we know, before all this happened, the buzzword was online coaching. You see, some associates, similar to yourself, I'm impartial. I like one-to-one training. That's my bread and butter. I do bits and bobs of online training, and I mix it my time between them both. So I'm not pro or con either of them. But kind of there was a lot of online training modalities in the industry. And I think a lot of them, like you say, will get fined out now because the bar's been raised, which can only be a good thing for the industry.
Yeah,
it can only be a good thing. When something comes in and raises a bar, the weaker trainers will fear it and they'll be like, oh no, I don't know what to do. But as we say, we're always, as coaches, nobody's a finished article. There's always room to grow. Yeah. There's always room to progress, which is what makes our industry so exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of people coming in and I think trainers and the really good online coaches at the bar, they are for bringing that all together. It's only going to lead to an influx of improved online training. Coaching.
Exactly.
Which is so important. Like we talk about it quite a lot. How can we keep raising the bar? How can you continually get better? And I think through this period of kind of harshness, that I think what's going to come out of it, and we spoke about it last Tuesday, I think the industry is just going to skyrocket and people's need for us is going to go through the roof.
Well, that reassurance is a really important thing for us to discuss, actually, because yeah, a lot of personal trainers are like, you know, what's going to happen to my business? I don't know about you, but you know, I drove past a gym earlier. It was just Virgin on one of the high streets. And I was like, oh, what I'd give to just go and have a workout, you know? And then also there's going to be a lot of people that want to start training and they'll want to coach. And I think the point that you just made now about, you know, we both just made about, you know, the bar being raised, it is the same as a personal training. If you've got six trainers that are very subpar in a gym and one guy or girl turns up who's delivering 10x more service, all of them have to raise their game.
Yeah.
But it's very easy for six trainers to be delivering a subpar service and never be challenged because no one has come on the scene and challenged them. And that's why I think that, to reiterate what we've just said, with online coaching, there's a lot of coaches that have been able to get away with training a lot of people online and delivering a subpar service because everyone's delivering the same. And now PTs have suddenly come on board and gone, well, I'm not happy sending emails. I need to deliver everything by Zoom and home workouts. And then the bar has been set. And I think that, as you said, can only be a good thing. Now, something that we discussed, and I love this point that you discussed before we actually came on air, was the need to, I love this thing that you talked about, the need to wash hands and the need to keep clean.
Yeah.
But no one's really, you know, I don't see the government, and you made this point, not me, the government aren't shouting down the need for antioxidants and vegetables and healthy food. You've got a great point on this.
Yeah. Like, we spoke about it, and I was having a conversation with a friend of mine just this morning, and we're saying there's so much stigma around wash your hands, wear gloves, social distancing of 2 meters. But where is the talk about boosting your immune system and how you boost your immune system, looking at people's diets? I use the example of kind of me doing shopping for my cousin who's got a son that's very kind of high risk, and kind of a shopping list, to be frank, pardon my French, was shagged. It was full of crisps, chocolates, and I obviously did what was necessary. I dropped the food round and kind of left it outside the door and phoned her and says the food's outside the door, etc. I had my gloves on and everything, and she was talking about the stigma around everything. I says, well, your focus needs to be on improving his dietary habits and not him washing his hands or wearing gloves. That's the least of your worries. And then it got me thinking, kind of, where are the government regulations in regards to nutrition and health? There's been no kind of what we should do, there's been talk about vitamin C and vitamin D from a supplementary factor, but where's the talk about improving people's nutrition and dietary habits?
Yeah.
Which to me is going to be the number one factor behind people healing and resisting the virus that's been going on. With a strong immune system, they say that if you contract the virus, it will just flush through quite easily. I mean, I'm no doctor or scientist behind the COVID, but kind of I know enough about the immune system and kind of almost the digestive system to be able to kind of give up, not so much advice, but kind of bits and bobs around healthy and nutritious food. And that's going to be so important in today's day and age, is educating people and the masses that we talk to on dietary habits as opposed to what next supplement to take and kind of what to do from a health and sanitary standpoint.
I mean, that point is so important. I mean, people are cleaning their hands all the time, and essentially as soon as their body gets a virus, it's the health of the body, it's the cells, it's the organs, it's blood flow, you know, oxygen. If your heart's struggling to get good oxygen and good quality blood because the nutrients in your body is poor, then it's going to affect breathing. It's going to affect your airways. And I just think, and then also, like you just said, if someone's quite inflamed, I mean, there's also a lot of these autoimmune issues with inflammation. You know, the health aspect that you've just talked about with inflammation, and if this is such a breathing issue that potentially is going to be about, the need for our clients right now from a trainer's perspective to say, hey, the training that I'm going to be doing with you, the home workout for half an hour, that's a small bit. Yes. I want you to get on Amazon and order, you know, your B-Vits, your fish oils, your probiotics. I want you to be having a good nutritious meal with the family. And then they go, but whenever I cook my, and this is quite an interesting point. You'll actually, I'm sure you agree with me. A lot of people, when they hire a PT, sort out their own nutrition, but now there's the whole family on board.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think you touched on this.
We talked about it earlier on, didn't we, about value. How do you explain your value? Your ability to explain about inflammation and cofactors behind inflammation. Yep. Your ability to explain about the immune system and its how it auto-regulates and in regards to gut dysfunction, in regards to everything that's going on internally to that promotes health externally and your ability to fight off viruses in the upper nasal tract, etc. So your ability to explain all this, there's your value with your clients at home. Recommending clients again, writing a diet for the family, writing a regular evening meal. It doesn't have to be chicken, rice, and broccoli. It's getting out of this kind of stigma of it needs to be a bodybuilding style diet. It doesn't. Getting single ingredient foods in abundance with herbs, spices, anti-inflammatories, antioxidants, as you spoke about, it's going to be important. Getting plenty of water down. Yeah. That's the important factor. So for you trainers that are listening that I don't know how to sell my value, just learning a little bit more about the immune system, the digestive system, inflammation, and what the cofactors that go into all three of those factors are, your ability to then explain it and give clients advice on a nutrition standpoint, there's your value there. And that's not just for them, that's keeping the whole family safe.
Yeah.
Which for me, kind of, most of the plans that I've written, I've taken into account how many children they've got. Can I put in meals there that, I use Sarah just because it's the name that comes to the tip of my tongue. Sarah can cook for four people. Have the kids got any allergies or anything like that? What do the kids like? So I've been building nutrition plans to suit the family as opposed to Sarah in isolation, because it's understanding I've now gone from essentially personal training one person
family
to essentially four people. And I was laughing with Joe, one of the senior coaches at M10, about kind of Joe Wicks the other day, and kind of a lot of the people that I'm talking to, their children are doing Joe Wicks at 9 o'clock on a weekday. Is that a bad thing? No, but can I take that into account when programming for their work, their own personal workout?
Yeah,
100%. And they're all things that clients lose sight of. It's like, I've got to make the best workout. I've got to write the best nutrition plan. You haven't. You've just got to take into account a lot of factors. It's a lot. It's like building a cake, isn't it? There's so many ingredients that go into building the cake. It's the same thing with building home training or virtual training workouts. There's a lot of ingredients and cofactors that are going to go into building it. You've just got to have the foresight to be able to see where you're pulling bits from.
And do you know what? You just said that as well. If the kids don't really understand the importance of having their veggies and stuff, as a PT, this might sound a little bit crazy, but if the mum or the dad's just like, they don't really get it, you say, all right, everybody around the screen, we're going to literally for 10 minutes just talk about the importance of it. So everybody gets on board. And then how do we get the food in? This is the type of meals we're going to have. And if that's the level you've got to go to as a coach, that's where your value lies. And as you said, it's not just a training session. That's just they don't have to be overly complicated at all, but the value lies the whole day and all the challenges that your clients are going to face all the way through it, right?
100%. I mean, we put a massive stigma on it at M10, kind of education is king. Kind of that education for clients and things comes in many different forms. It's not just exercise prescription. It's not just nutrition. It's not just all the six pillars that we spoke about. Education for our clients is so important. And we spoke about at the start, Carmen, as well as using this almost lull period to educate yourselves, put a massive premise on your business and what you do in educating your clients, because it'll reap so many benefits for you moving forward. It's, again, what better way than to finish kind of being stuck indoors and how we are in isolation, than knowing that you've progressively moved your clients through a period of learning about food training. And what do you think is going to happen at the end of isolation when your clients now know more about training? The apparent need for them to stick to it more, to adhere to you better, the accountability becomes better, thus the results become better once we're out of isolation and we've got more tools at our disposal. It's playing the long game, isn't it? We always talk about it. Don't look at it with a short-sighted view. Think about the long game and what you're instilling now and how it'll come to fruition later down the line.
Yeah, I think that what you've just said then is so, so important, is that the clients are not only through this process. You and I talk about psychology and mindset a hell of a lot. There are people that are going to come out of this down and struggle to get back up. They've already been talking about a form of kind of like PTSD from this because of levels of depression that they could see elevating. Essentially, personal trainers are going to save lives through this.
Yeah.
And you know, save lives, save families, save relationships, is a big kind of responsibility that you put on your shoulders. But I don't know whether your thoughts on, you know, whether you see that as true.
Yeah, 100%. And again, going off topic a little bit, of a guy that I knew from where I used to live back in the day, it's been on social media today that he committed suicide last night.
Oh, Dan, I'm sorry.
And then that's kind of the real effects of what's going on. He had a few mental health issues, but it just shows the level we're at. This is serious. So the importance of being there for your clients, being there for your loved ones, and checking in on people kind of through this troubled time, like, it's so important because it's going to stand you in such better stead moving forward. And it's so important. I think a lot of people are, until the last few days, have underestimated the magnitude of what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I've seen in the last few days that we've both been in since last week, but kind of what I've seen, people are taking it a lot more seriously now, which it is for people. That there's been a massive rise in mental health issues and autism and ADHD, and it's only going to get progressively worse if we don't take care of which we spoke about earlier, the nutrients we've put into the body from a dietary perspective, but two, actually kind of giving people sustainable mechanisms and methods to help work through the dark times. Because unfortunately for us in today's day and age, there's a lot more depression and anxiety and mental health issues creeping into society. And unless we take, as trainers, it's our responsibility to kind of be now talking to people at length about these things and talking about nutrition and things to help stay people away from that.
Can I ask you then, just before we kind of wrap this up then, if clients turn around and say, to be honest, you know, I'm going through a bit of a tough time at the moment. I think I'm going to be all right. Are we all right if we just have a little bit of a pause? Yeah. If they haven't yet identified how much they're going to need you.
Yeah.
I've spoke to quite a few trainers about making sure that you don't really give your clients an opportunity yet to actually say no initially, because there is an importance to be by their side.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to coaches that say, my clients just don't want anything, not necessarily from a financial perspective, but maybe that kind of first week they buried their head in the sand a little bit and thought, but you know that they need to get back out?
Well, first thing for me is, with all my guys, is book a call in every week.
Yes.
It costs you nothing to take 10 to 15 minutes to speak to every single one of your clients, whether they're paying or not.
Yep.
I say, we'll book a call. Again, a Zoom call, just so you can see the colour of the eyes, you can pick up on body language and you can see how things are going. You can see what the background's like, if the kids are darting about and jumping over all the sofas. They're all signals and signs you can pick up. So I'd say to coaches, still book a call and it's 10 minutes of your time.
And
be able to write a little note on things that they've previously spoken to you about, potential negatives or downsides or red flags that you may have picked up. And then use them in the next call. We talk about it a lot with my psychology, my stuff, and finding somebody's anchor. It's going back to what you found when you first started with them, their sole reason why they started training with you. And use that as kind of a tool to keep them engaged and keep them in. And ultimately, kind of, I've said to a few of the trainers at M10, and we've talked about it, is they might not sign up the first week, but after a few weeks, the constant contact, they will need you.
Yes.
If this does run for 12 weeks, they might not need you now, but in 3 or 4 weeks, they will need you. Trust me, because this isn't going away anytime soon, in my opinion. So kind of booking a call every week. If it's 2 10-minute calls every week, it's 20 minutes of your time. That's it. You're doing it for free. And you soon start to show them value and you being that impartial part of their day. And they can just come on and go, oh, Dan, I've had a really terrible day. The kids are stressing me out. Right, talk to me about it. They will feel better. They finish a call, they'll send you a little text saying, oh, Dan, really love the call. Perfect. Let's get on another one end of the week. And then you build a little bit of conversation. And then, as you always speak about, Mark, kind of you've then got a sales patter to then say, right, this is what we need to do. And you're able to more or less script the relationship, as opposed to being told, I don't want one-to-one training. You say, right, this is what we're going to do, because you've taken control of the situation.
What you just said then is brilliant, because on the mastermind call that we had last night, I talked about re-engagement. Yeah. Re-engagement is essentially a process of adding huge amount of value to the point where the client actually in themselves goes, I'm so glad you've kept in contact, because I actually would like you to get back on track with me. So if they have dipped out of, as you've just said, if they've dipped out and they go, you know, I'm just going to pause this for a bit. You go, well, you might want to pause it. That's absolutely fine, but I'm still going to call you every Monday.
Yeah. Prime example of your mum with me.
Yes.
So kind of I train Mark's mum, and she often goes to France, holidays in France. And there's been so many occasions where she says, oh, this is happening. I'm not going to come back. This is happening. I'm going to take a couple of weeks out. And I basically said, right, let's have a call. In no uncertain terms, we've spoke about how important her health is and how she needs to look after herself before she can even think about looking after others. Yeah. And lo and behold, she's back into the gym next Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah. Thursday. It's so important. As you say, that positive engagement is so important, because it's very easy for people, if you look at it from a modality standpoint, it's very easy for people to say no via text, via email,
yeah,
by a phone call. It's very easy for people to say no. But if you get them on a call and you can start to identify the problems face to face, it's very difficult when it's staring them in the face for them to say, oh, I don't think I'm going to go for it. So one thing, tip I picked off on Mark is if people ever inquire about my services, it's always an email, right, let's jump on a phone call. Usually that call will be Zoom, and then we go from there. And nothing's yeah. ever agreed or spoke about from a price or working together wise until we get face-to-face, which is important. But at least this time, it's going to have to be face-to-face via computer.
And you know what was lovely? My mum, and this is what I'm going to kind of touch on this as well, that WhatsApp groups, support groups for your clients, even if you're not necessarily in between a call. My mum's in France, and she's actually on lockdown in France and can't get back. And she said to me yesterday on a call, she says, do you know what? He still keeps messaging me. And that was about you.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you know, this is not just to blow smoke up Dan's ass, but my mum, well, even while she's in France on lockdown, she's not an actual client, or she is, but she's not training with you in face-to-face at the moment, but she still gets communication. And I think a lot of trainers, just because their clients have stopped, or they think they've stopped the engagement. So I think what you've said, Dan, is so valuable, because this opportunity to re-engage your clients by going over the next couple of weeks, because when clients end up realizing, I wish I hadn't stopped with Dan, I wish I hadn't stopped my communication with my coach, they would, if they keep having the call, when you listen to the voice of them, a bit stressed out, not getting their workouts, and you say, right, we need to get this back started again.
And it just comes down to one thing I always talk about, is authenticity, isn't it? Kind yep. of, as I said to you earlier on in the call, I do this because I generally care about, and most all the guys at M10, yourself included, kind of, I generally care about what your mum's up to. That's not authentic. That's not put on. I don't have a reminder saying, oh, text so-and-so. I don't work like that. It's from an authenticity standpoint. I genuinely care about my guys. Mm-hmm. And the kind of real against a fake, the real will always prosper. And kind of, there's a reason why my diary is mostly always fully booked. There's a reason why there's people that want to work with me, because of that authenticity. And as coaches, it's so imperative that we see a lot of shit on social media nowadays about unauthenticity and people just saying stuff because they think it wants to be heard. But I always say, it's a saying I use, that cream always rises to the top. And it's simply just, for me, it's I try my best with every single person I work with. And if you can authentically do that with each and every one of your clients, they will see that. As we always say, we don't know everything. And that's what's great about our industry, because we're constantly a work in progress.
Yeah.
But if you do your best by each and every one of your clients to the best of your ability authentically, you'll never lose clients, and clients will never want to leave you because they feel and they see that.
Yeah. And now is a better time than any to show you true colors with your retention strategy as well. Listen, I knew that this was, when we spoke off air, it was like, okay, these are the topics we're going to talk about. We're probably going to have to stop ourselves at some point. And I think right now is a perfect place to stop. I hope that everybody who's tuned in today has got a lot of value. If there's any topics that you want discussed on the podcast or any questions you have for me, drop me a message. And Dan, just remind the guys of your Instagram just so that the guys can reach out to you with any questions.
It's dan_smith_coach, I believe.
Okay, cool. Just check.
Yeah, dan_smith_coach.
So if you want to reach out and ask Dan any questions, please do. And Dan and I are going to be, you know, the first week we readjusted to this or adjusted to this. The second week we're going to be putting our heads together in terms of what we can do for you guys, because lots of you have asked us what support can you give us in terms of education, and we don't want to just share what we shared on the podcast today without giving you some more tools and tricks. So we're going to be putting our heads together. But I just want to say, you know, this is long overdue episode of you being on here, Dan, but I really appreciate your professionalism and also your knowledge and experience and wisdom to share with a lot of coaches all over the world. So thank you, bud.
Yeah, thanks for having me, mate.
Guys, if you have any questions, please let's help more personal trainers. I know that there are so many personal trainers all over the world new to this podcast episode. Also, those of you who have been following for a long time, who can help a lot of other trainers who don't know that the podcast exists. So what I'm asking you to do, please, is just screenshot this episode, share it on mine or Dan's. We'll keep sharing them, because let's help more personal trainers through this. Let's help people that are struggling on their own to come across the podcast, because this is one episode that's going to make a big difference to how coaches get through this time. So I thank you again, Dan.
Thanks, mate.
Guys, I look forward to speaking to you soon. Thanks a lot for listening, and we shall speak to you soon. Take care.